B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know where Milwaukee goes from here.
Whoa. So is this over?
No, listen. I think it's over.
This series is over.
Yeah, they
one
lost.
One game? You just said it and said that they could win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I did say that. But
one game.
I think styles make fights in boxing.
We know the style of both teams before the series started.
Yeah, but it just seemed like Milwaukee was the way better team throughout the regular season. But when I watched this today, if Giannis doesn't have a monster game, and somebody else besides him doesn't step up, Boston is just going to out-talent them.
Paul Pierce, 2 days ago, we mentioned it yesterday, talking about the Celtics series with the Bucks being over.
Yeah, P squared. 34.
You think it's over?
I do.
You think the series is over based on
I'm
the first game?
Yep.
Why is that?
They just, and Jim's been on this too. Not to bring up Jim immediately into this, but
that's okay.
Seems like they have no freaking offense. Like the incessant launching of just stupid 3-point, and I guess that's part of the game.
Horrible decisions. You're right. Offensively,
awful.
Bad decision. Early bad shot selection. All that.
And then just okay, if it doesn't work, clear out. Give it to Giannis, and then he's going to try and shoot. Gets blocked. He'll shoot it again. Gets blocked again. We'll try and kick that out, or else it'll be a charge. It's just. You know, and if you can run in transition, you should be able to blow doors off this team.
It's over.
Especially at home.
It's
as
over.
Long as Rozier's not leading the transition.
Well, right. Scary Terry really gets going. Like, listen,
as long as he's not the one, yeah.
Oh, man. Just give it a rest, Grandy, with the Scary Terry stuff. It ain't coming back from last year.
It's over-ish.
Like, oh. Everything's going to change.
They're going to win the series. Bucks are going to steal one along the way. It's going to give everyone pause.
So you're saying 5?
Yeah.
All right, so that's, to me, over. That if you're saying it's over at 5, that's over.
Yeah, there'll be some chicken littles. There'll be some chicken littles when the Bucks come back and either win tonight or win one in Boston.
Here's what I sort of want to do. I want to draw the line as to know how we can check the scoreboard 2 weeks from now to know if those who said it was over were right or wrong. And that includes, most notably, Paul Pierce. You know, my favorite Celtic of all time, the Celtic of my generation, that... Is he wrong or is he right?
Like, that's not...
If it goes 6 games, was it over?
No, I think 5.
All right, I think it's 5 and fewer.
5 or sweep.
If it goes 6 or 7, then
this guy knows what he's talking about.
Then his take was too strong.
You know, you got a guy like Charles Barkley who'll just throw crap out there just to be, like, sort of that shock guy, right? Charles will say some crazy-ass stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paul's like, I don't know what Milwaukee does from here. Because, like, the Celtics just keep coming at you. They got 3 guys that can throw it to Greek Freak. They got the better coach. It's a series. It's not a regular season game. But this is where Brad Stevens really, really takes over in these type of matchups. And then you got freaking Kyrie Irving.
I'm feeling like the Celtics closed it out at home in 6. And that the Bucks will get a couple of wins along the way. And to me, that's not calling it over. That's a series where the Bucks win a couple of games. And that's not over. I wouldn't call that over after 1 game.
So you want to be able to scorekeep on this? And
yeah,
you,
I want to be able. I've heard a lot of discussion now the last 24 hours. Is it over? Is it not over? Well, where's the line? Where can we draw the line?
All right.
So we can scorekeep when it's all said and done.
5 is over. Anything more than that, not over. And what we'll do is we'll etch it on a plate. We'll go to like Things Remembered, and we'll have it done like, or maybe a nice silver cup.
I like that.
Like Tom Karen's ring.
Yeah. I like that.
And we'll have it, you know, for posterity's sake, and
absolutely.
That way we can point to it and say, see. And then we can include the names of a few notables, Paul Pierce among them.
Very good.
Paul Pierce said the series was over. However,
right, Paul Pierce, Jim Murray.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, we can.
So
we'll take it back.
We'll add
in.
The names we'll all have on the trophy.
We'll have the predictions etched in it now. We'll go back after the series.
It'll be like when you go to like you know the local Elks Lodge and it has like the ruler listed for each and every year. Every year you go down to the engraver and add a new plate. One of those deals.
Did you hear Murray last week, like when they were swept, like, oh, yawn, big deal. Nope. Is your opinion changed? Nope. Now all of a sudden, they're the best team in the NBA. How does that change after one game?
Well, because it was never about talent. Who has more talent in this series? Who has the more talented roster?
Celtics.
The Boston Celtics have the more talented roster. Was that really in question a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago?
No, but
it wasn't.
Other team,
that was never
the other
question.
Team is the better regular season team.
How about this? We talk about this all the time in the playoffs. I don't know if it's been talked about in this series. The team with the best player on the floor generally wins the series.
That is,
who has the best player?
They do.
They do.
Can you argue Kyrie is better?
But
yes,
you have. But
you
there's
can,
a, yeah, I was going to say
make
you have
an argument.
You have a really close second, though.
You've got a
this guy's the MVP. I mean,
you can.
Giannis is the MVP.
Yes.
Okay.
Did he play like an MVP in Game One?
No. No, we had people chastise us for him being awful in game
one. That's
the
difference.
He's not going to do that every night.
He may be. He is the best player on the floor. I believe that. But you got to show me something more than putting up a minus 24.
Well, this is why I think that Paul Pierce is too strong in what he said. And I think part of what he said is absolutely correct in that he's talking about the matchups. So he just gets a little hot takey with the it's over. Because when you say it's over, I'm thinking, what, it's a sweep now? That the Bucks have no shot to make this competitive, that they have no way of putting themselves into this series making it a series?
Tonight is must win for them.
I don't agree with that. So here's what he's right about, though. If you watch some of the matchups in this series, they do favor the Celtics from what we saw in game one. But it's game one. It's a game. And now these coaches, both Brad Stevens and Budenholzer, have time to adjust and change things for game two. The adjustments that are made by coaches can also come along with players that make better decisions on the court and players who simply play better.
Yeah.
All of that could happen. Players that shoot better when they're on the floor tonight for Milwaukee.
You got two Boston teams playing in the playoffs tonight. You could realistically say if both teams win, that both series are potentially over. And I know hockey's different because weird things can happen in that sport. But Celtics win tonight, this series is over. It's over in five or less. The Bruins.
Whoa! So is this over?
The hell is that?
So do you think the Celtics win tonight?
I do.
I don't think they do.
You don't?
No, I think you're going to see a response from Milwaukee, and I think they're going home.
I would say that tonight is more of a scheduled loss for the Bruins than the Celtics. You're going into a hornet's nest tonight in Columbus. That city's amped up and ready for it tonight.
By the way, same line.
And you got a hot goalie. Okay.
You know what?
I don't know. No,
yeah, totally.
Better show me something tonight.
You misread that one, Buckaroo.
Really?
And I don't know if I want to get
the
Bruins.
We don't. Yeah. We're talking about the Celtics.
You know I know
which,
that.
Which, by the way, it's a 7.5-point line going into tonight. The same exact line as it was going into game
back
one.
Back and forth, back and
tonight.
Forth, back and forth.
Same
flip,
line.
Flip.
Celtics said they were.
They have not changed the line from game one to game two. So Vegas looked at game one and said, we don't care that your Celtics won by the margin that you won by. We're putting them right back as 7.5-point dogs. That's what they did.
That line is going to get pounded.
So Vegas is obviously believing in the adjustments that Milwaukee is capable of.
Well, look what happened last night with the Sixers in Toronto. Toronto spanked them the first game and the Sixers won the second game.
Yes. And so tonight I am predicting a Bucks win.
Okay.
That's what I'm predicting. You wanted to get a Things Remembered statue for that tomorrow, too?
Sure.
Celtics win.
I'm telling you. I think it's,
I don't want to blow a bunch of money on a one game.
I think it's Celtics in six. I think they win the series. I think they're going to prove over the course of this series that they've got a better team and they've got more talent and they've put it together. Maybe. They have started to put this thing together.
Yeah, sitting in traffic makes you think a lot. It really does. Like, okay. Oh. You know, a lot to talk about today. Mm. It's easy. Celtics win tonight. Bruins lose tonight. That's what I'm saying.
Sticking with the Celtics for a moment,
mm-hmm.
They said they were going to figure it out,
like it?
And that they would go with the playoff. They would, you know, roll into the playoffs and play playoff basketball, and think that's what they're going to continue to do tonight. I think they're going to win again tonight.
If they win tonight, man, everybody and her mother are going to be picking them to not only make noise but get to the finals, potentially win the whole damn thing.
Yes,
that'd be 6-0 coming out of the gate playoffs with Kyrie, and it's how Kyrie and Irving. It's how Kyrie and Gordon Hayward play. It really is. I expect Horford to be his, same guy.
Hayward.
Yeah, do all the little things. Play great defense.
Tatum, I mean.
Do what you. It's them just fit in and find your roles.
Yeah.
Everybody else, like Baines, go bang on the Greek Freak a little bit. You know, pray that they shoot up stupid shots and don't get hot. They could potentially get hot in a series, and maybe they get that game tonight. But, I mean, Celtics are, they control the whole damn thing. You win tonight, it's smooth sailing. smooth sailing to the finals.
If there are adjustments that will be made by Milwaukee, Mike Budenholzer is downplaying them because when he spoke yesterday, said, I think adjustments are overrated.
Yeah. What is this team going to do? Put in an offense?
And his MVP.
They put in a pick and roll.
Is saying.
Good. Play your MVP 33 minutes and then let your Pat Connaughton shoot 7 3-pointers. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. How's that going to change? You going to tell him shoot less? Tell the other guy shoot more? You're going to run more pick and rolls at a high point?
He could be lying. He could just be downplaying that he's going to make significant adjustments.
Yeah.
So this is something.
Brad Stevens changed the starting lineup for game one. He made the adjustment before game one.
You're going to do pick and rolls. He's going to double your ass and triple your ass.
Let's see what changes. I think this is a fun part of this series, an interesting part of this series. What kind of adjustments do you see from the other side? We've watched so much dreck over the last couple of years with the Celtics, the crappy teams that they faced with the horrible coaching. Brett Browns of the world. Right?
Yeah.
Joe Prunty.
Oh, just the crap coaches that they faced in the playoffs. They've got it feels to me, and I don't know how you feel about him, but I think he's a decent coach. So what do they do differently, if they do anything differently?
No, but you say here, and hey, which team's better on paper? And you say, okay, Celtics may have more talent.
Is he lying through his teeth before the game? Does he have a poker face before he goes into it?
I hope not.
I hope so. I mean, it would just be more fun this way.
Yeah.
A smart coach who reveals nothing, downplays adjustments, and then makes adjustments and changes things and comes out with a better performance in game two. You know, that's like competition. That's why we actually enjoy sports.
Yeah.
You see the back and forth. You see the chess match a little bit.
I mean, I think
instead of watching the dopes like Brett Brown.
This is the point where, okay, they flipped the switch as players, and now you get into series where you have the better coach in every single matchup, even if you get to the finals against, say, Golden State. I think Steve Kerr's a better coach. I think Steve Kerr's along for the ride. Turns the key on. Go. Let me sit back. Hey, you know what? You guys want to coach this one? Go ahead.
Terry Rozier had
some
comments.
I'm a world thinker, okay?
Yesterday about what the team has overcome and what they've dealt with this year to get to this point is the Celtics have certainly turned it on. They haven't lost a playoff game, 5-0 through the playoffs to this point. We'll get to those comments and your calls as we start the day talking Celtics, but we've got a lot to get to today. Obviously, got a trio of games tonight. I don't know, rain out there, though. I don't know how the Red Sox are going to do with that.
Oh.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We'll get to your calls as well as we begin the day talking about the Celtics, their matchup with the Bucks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Rozier, right side against Hill. Kyrie wants it. He's got it. Left-hand dribble away from Mirotić. Attacks the paint. Kick out Hayward. Swing to the open man. Rozier for three. Got it.
All by himself then. Man. Fear the what?
Six 617-779-0985. Open phone lines if you want to grab one. Celtics take on the Bucks game two tonight. Story up at Yahoo Sports about the Celtics. Yes, it appears we can finally believe in these Celtics. The headline, Vincent Goodwill, the author of this one. And it has quotes from Terry Rozier talking about the team putting things behind them. Things that he told Yahoo Sports after the win on Sunday. He said, I'll just say a lot of people put things that they were going through during the season behind them. And we all looked at that big, awesome goal at the end. So we're just clicking. We were just going through a lot of stuff during the season, dealing with a lot of guys battling one another for spots and stuff. But I feel like we put everything behind us. That's according to Terry Rozier. So his comments sort of indicate that it's basketball related. That their issues were related to playing time, that their issues related to, you know, spots in the starting lineup, not necessarily, you know, the leadership or lack thereof by Kyrie Irving, that it was just basically competitive stuff. Do we buy that? Do you buy that? I don't know that I necessarily buy that.
No, I don't buy it. I just think that it's these guys like Gordon Hayward finally are coming into form. Like, that's what you've been waiting for. What has changed with Al Horford? What's changed with Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? They're still the same guys. It's Gordon Hayward that has pretty much found his spot.
Weren't like the issues Kyrie? Well, Kyrie's not battling anybody for a spot. He's not battling anybody for playing time.
He was a dick this year. Maybe it's more mental for him, that part of it. Okay, whatever peace he found mentally. Because physically, he's still the same guy. He had changed. Other guys changed. Like, Gordon Hayward changed physically. He got confident. His game turned around. Like, that's the difference. And they got everybody finding their roles right now.
Yeah, because somebody's missing. Why do they play better when somebody's missing? No matter who that person is, they play better when somebody's missing.
No, there's one fewer body to be, in the lineup.
So that's where I buy it. That's where I buy it from Rozier.
That's a good point.
So then it's less about Kyrie then, and it's more about the lineup.
Well, when Kyrie's out, they play better too, though.
Yeah.
Right, but that's not a Kyrie issue,
When Jaylen Brown's out, Hayward would play better early.
So then
in the
all
year.
This stuff about Kyrie apologizing to the team on the West Coast flight and all that didn't matter. Then it wasn't about Kyrie. Then it was about just playing time and there being too many guys and not enough minutes to go around to keep everybody happy. Which one was it?
But I think
why does that have to be one or the other, though? Why can't it be both?
Well, if it's both, then these guys suck. That's what it is. And they've all got horrible attitudes. Then they're not good competitors. It's about time they put it behind them. Bunch of crybabies is what they are, if it's both of those things. We hate the best guy on the team, and we're all crying about our playing time? Wow, what an unlikable group if that's the case.
So you're putting Kyrie at no fault, even though he apologized?
No, I'm saying, which one is it? Is it one or the other, or is it really both?
I think they had no leader all year. Seriously. And everybody likes to say Al's the leader and he says all the right things. Right, he's the best pro on the team. He's the best guy as far as applying what he does to his job, saying the right things, doing the right things, doing all the little things.
No, but if this is
he's consistent. Like, they're sitting there waiting for a leadership role.
He's not blameless, but it's too much blame has been put on Kyrie is what I'm saying. Too much has been put on Kyrie.
The baby's that West Coast trip, he took over the leadership role.
All year, everyone's been putting everything on Kyrie. True or false? Kyrie's the issue.
True.
It's what's led to all the calls that we've received of they're better off with Kyrie, move on from Kyrie, get rid of Kyrie. Mike and Quincy yesterday still wants to get rid of Kyrie.
Here's where I agree with you.
Horrible attitude, get rid of him. He's the problem. He's the issue. He's the reason they can't put it together. Well, was he? Maybe he was a dick, and maybe that's what he apologized for, and he's over that. But maybe there were more issues than just Kyrie being the best player and not being a great guy to be around.
That's what I agree with you with.
They're all crying about their minutes.
There are probably other players that should have apologized too that didn't. Kyrie's the only one that did. Kyrie was the adult in the room and said, listen, we're going to put this behind us. I'm going to apologize. Even if everybody else should have apologized, he was the big man and said that.
Right. Who else has apologized in the room?
I can't imagine it was just one guy the issues. It was probably multiple guys.
Then why is he saying that all year too? Like, hey, I was them and I didn't realize it. And man, Bron tried to teach me, and I didn't want to hear it from him. You even go back to that stuff. Then I talked to Bron, and he's helped me through this. Like, I got to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to do something he never did in his career.
It took him all freaking season to do it.
Yeah, you think LeBron ever apologized for anything?
No, he just shipped guys away.
Yeah. Fired coaches, shipped out players, got new teammates, got new coaches.
Oh, Tristan Thompson works? Let's give him $70 million.
Which is why Kyrie should stay. That would be something that LeBron wouldn't do. Stay. Stay in Boston.
I like that thought.
It's true. It's something that...
Stay with the current group, though. Don't try to bring other guys in.
Yeah, well...
Stay and try to win this group.
Wait a minute. Hold on, though. I don't fault the guy for wanting to get better players, ever.
Well, what's wrong with keeping, like... And I know Horford means everything to you now by the way he plays. But what's wrong with keeping Gordon Hayward? Because I think the sky's the limit for him.
I don't think Hayward's an issue.
I don't think Hayward's an issue, but even with more health next year, I'm saying he could even be a better player. I think it's Kyrie... keep Hayward, and you need that one more. You need that one more. You do. And then you're like you're a super team, and you'll be able to retain one of those young guys.
But part of it also depends on how far this team goes. As we mentioned yesterday, they haven't won anything yet.
I mean, could you imagine this team with Kyrie, with Gordon Hayward? Say they do get Anthony Davis, and then you get a bunch of guys and figure it out with this coach.
So Terry Rozier sort of wraps it up into everybody had to get over their things. Did anyone else apologize other than Kyrie? Did anyone else say, I'm sorry that I was bitching about my playing time? I'm sorry that I took it out of my teammates. I shouldn't have done that. Did anybody else apologize?
Probably not. Then the young guys that said we're going to win multiple championships.
So just maybe you should reframe your thoughts. And you know me, I like Kyrie and I want Kyrie here forever. So maybe you should start thinking about who else in the room should be apologizing beyond just Kyrie, because it seems like the problems go beyond him. Or let's put it in the past tense, because they're playing well and they all say that the problems are a thing of the past. Who else was a problem? Who else should have apologized?
Find out when the book comes out.
Who else need? I don't think there's going to be a book. Who would buy that?
I would. Hear all the inside stuff on this team? I would definitely buy that.
Yeah, books don't sell. Book sports buyer. Books don't all right, do all that
30 for 30.
Well.
Change it to 30 for 30. Yeah, like Marcus
I'll watch
said.
It. We'll all watch
Marcus
30 Morris for 30. Yeah, we'll all watch 30 for 30.
NBC Sports do it. They can have Scal narrate it.
Yes. Well, we can watch that. That's worth your time. Books don't do all that great.
I don't know if I need a book to find out like who was a petulant child and whose snapped leg didn't heal as fast as they thought it was going to, and who decided when come playoff time they all could play better than they were. I think I got those answers. I think I pretty much know what's happening. I'm just amazed that they're doing it. I'm amazed that they've managed to do what they said they were going to do come playoff time, which is, we'll play real basketball in the postseason.
Oh. They deserve all the credit in the world for doing that.
Yeah, I don't know if credit is the right word.
No, they do.
They deserve recognition for being able to do it.
They backed up what they said they were going to do. It sounded absurd the way they played in the regular season at times. It sounded ridiculous. It was hard to buy into. It was hard to believe. They backed it up. They've backed it up so far.
Yeah.
To this point, Sarah's in Norwood. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. How are you today?
Good.
Hi.
Good. I was just wondering, you know, you read that quote, and, I kind of took it very differently. I don't disagree with what you're saying. There definitely, you know, were issues with the team and individuals, you know, on the team and with individuals with each other on the team. But I'm also wondering if there were, like, you know, personal issues that were going on during the regular season, like, I don't know, family issues, difficulties, you know, outside of basketball.
Oh, dealing with what everybody in the human race deals with every day.
Yeah.
Everyday things. How tough it is
for them,
huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if maybe they said, you know what, for a short period of time, we're going to put this stuff behind us, regardless of what it is, we're going to put it behind us. And I'm just wondering if it was all basketball, or if maybe there were personal issues that they kind of said, you know, this has to be the priority right now, and our personal issues, we've been dealing with them all season long. We got to put those.
I think if you think that's the case, I think it's an easy excuse making thing, because my ears dealing with things where guys play, your escape is your job, your arena, your field, your stadium. That's where you go. You play to be yourself. Then you and sit there dwelling. I mean, I don't blame Gordon Hayward for being hesitant or not having the confidence. I mean, his freaking ankle was pointing the other way. People forget that. That's trauma. That is trauma. And I don't care how stable or how good it feels. You'll never forget that. You'll never forget looking down and say, uh-oh, that's not right. I'm freaking out. And it takes you forever to get back to that point. It seems like he's almost there. But, man, if you got everybody dealing with bringing all their problems to work, then you got a bad guy leading them, because that guy should recognize it and deal with it.
617-779-0985. Celtics thoughts. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up at 10:50 this morning.
What shoe am I going to sell? I mean, what are they dealing with?
Big night tonight.
What am I going to wear? Like Marcus Smart. What coat with gold trim should I wear tonight? That's the problem.
Bruins and Celtics on the same night. How are you going to deal with that, Zoe?
Never drove in
We'll discuss before. Next. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Nolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Neither team generated a lot of offense 5-on-5, so that's when you got to make hay, and they did on theirs, and we didn't on ours. You know, yes, we got a goal. It helped us, and the number looks good, so you're 25%, but in the big picture, our number one unit didn't generate much either game on it, and so we want to make sure we correct that.
Okay, what are you predicting for the Bruins tonight?
A hornet's nest they're walking into. Scheduled loss. Not scheduled loss, but based on who has scored the last 10 goals for them, not many frontline guys on that list. I expect them to walk into a hornet's nest with a hot goalie, and that place is going to be humming. And I can see him getting down 2-0 quick and scratching to lose by 1 goal tonight. So I can see the Bruins losing tonight. It doesn't mean the series is over. But I just think of the two teams playing tonight, boy, does it suck. Both teams are playing tonight.
Okay, here
I'd like
the,
to see that spread
here
out.
Are the last 10 goals that you mentioned. Yep. These,
listen to this, folks.
This list does not include empty net goals. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up at 10:50.
Real goals.
Here are the list of goals, does not include empty netters. Last 10 for the Bruins. DeBrusque, Nordstrom, Johansson, Corrali, Coyle, Achari, Coyle, Pasternak, Grizzlick. Those are the last 10.
Anything missing to you there?
Yeah. There's no Krejci. There's no Marchand. There's no Bergeron.
Seems like Bergeron has really gotten, not a free pass, but
yes.
people are so hesitant.
He's hesitant
to criticize him.
He had that lazy, stupid penalty at the end of the game that led to the game-winning goal in overtime on Saturday night. He has not produced offensively, and nobody will criticize him because he is what I think...
untouchable.
The closest thing to sacred cow untouchable in this town.
He's Brady.
No, I think he's actually more than Brady. People criticize Brady. Brady doesn't play well. Brady misses passes.
Yeah.
Brady has a bad game. People jump on Brady. We take calls people bitching about Tom Brady in a week-to-week basis, of
course. That's true.
Absolutely,
yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Have you heard anybody call us and bitch about Patrice Bergeron?
No.
Like, ever?
No.
In the history of the sports hub?
No.
How often does that happen? In the last decade.
He's the only one.
Happens.
One series early on in our existence, may have been 2011, may have been early on, you know, and every series went 7 games. And I dared.
Was it Toronto?
I dared to say that it'd be nice to have a little more offensive output from Patrice Bergeron after one of those games.
Can't do that. You'd be ready for the backlash.
No!
He can't do no wrong.
No, now we've got to give the prep. We all love Patrice Bergeron.
He's the best two-way forward in the league and
he's
has been
great for 10 He's going to have his number in the rafters. All that great stuff.
God.
Okay, right now, he sucks. He is not producing for the Bruins right now. Right this second.
Oh, man.
Not doing his job well enough. Needs to be better.
Both ends of the ice.
It's suck a little too far?
For him. This is like,
what'd you say?
This is like Giannis.
Said he sucks. I don't think he sucks.
This is like the Giannis thing. He didn't play terrible. Terrible for him. Not terrible. Patrice Bergeron playing terrible for Patrice Bergeron right now. Yes. For his normal high level of play, yeah, he's not there.
I agree with that. I don't think he sucks.
Yeah,
but yeah.
No, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Same type of thing.
Strong word.
Just got a collapsed liver.
High-end player, playing at a high end.
See, that's why people...
Not playing up at that high end right now. He's playing in the middle, which is not
saying,
good enough for him.
What's wrong with Pasternak? What's wrong? Something's wrong. It's not the hand. It's something else. Well, he says he's healthy. But do you really trust these guys when they say they're healthy? The answer is no. Because you always find out, well, he's undergoing surgery. He's going under surgery to fix something, this, that, or the other. Like Die Hard, he said, he played with a collapsed lung. He had a broken rib. Char had a broken bone in his hand. Couldn't grip a stick. It's always something.
But when I look at the list, the last 10 goals, I don't use that as a way to predict what will happen in game 3 tonight.
No, but it just scares the hell out of you that
it doesn't scare me going forward. I don't think it's going to continue. There's no way it can continue.
But when this team has frontline production, they're pretty much untouchable. Like, they can run away with games. And it just hasn't happened. And this type of goalie, you know, you watch his team play the other night, they'll stand there, they'll slug you, and they don't go away. They're a good, solid team. They're not a high-end team. They're not like Tampa. They're not like Washington. But this team will give it to you. And if you give them an inch, they'll take it. I don't want to say it's something that you worry about tonight, but that's a building. That's their home game. This place is going to be amped. It's stupid Columbus. This is all they got right now. And they're walking into Hornets.
Well, they've
nest.
Got these great T-shirts that are going to be on every single seat.
Shoot that cannon.
Under clothed, you could say, Patrice, you could just blame it on Claude when he wasn't performing offensively, right? But now under Cassidy, hasn't he proven?
Yeah, it's like they moved everybody around except
all his numbers have bumped up so high that he's proven that he can do it. They can do it on this system, so he's got to do it now. Before, you could just say, oh, this is Claude's fault. It's Claude's fault. They're not letting him loose. Force him to play defense.
It's like put up or shut up tonight, man. Like, do you want to get down in the series? They've got to get back into it.
They've got T-shirts on every seat there in Columbus.
Oh, stop it!
And the T-shirts say,
"Do something that Pittsburgh hasn't done." What are you going to white out? What are you getting white out tonight?
The T-shirts say? They're gray T-shirts. Right there. They're gray. They're not even white. They're gray.
First, it says it's like being what, first.
It's like
last.
They went to the printer and they said, "What's the cheapest T-shirt?"
What's that
you
say?
Get us?
First,
they said, "Well, we got these gray ones that no one seems to like." It says first round victory is not the goal. It's time. That's what it says. First round victory. That is catchy.
What ink That's color do you have a lot left over of? Well, we have this really dark blue and we have a red. Is it Columbus blue and red?
Sort of.
Is it blue jacket blue?
You know, it's going to change once you put it on the fabric anyway. So don't.
You know, it's actually left over from all the Patriots championship T-shirts we printed. So, it's close enough. Is that what you want?
Okay,
it's a nautical blue. Are you willing to accept a nautical blue?
Not Hawaiian blue.
That is nautical blue.
Nautical blue.
That is nautical. That's badass.
Yeah, good enough.
That's stealth black.
I mean, just look behind you guys. That's the colors right there. That big 985 with the blue next
sports
to it.
I was going
to
say it's Sports Hub colors.
Sports Hub red and blue.
That is nautical blue.
Well, touching it, none. You definitely get a good feel for it.
Mm.
Can you smell colors?
Sure can. You remember the scratch and sniffs? How great that was.
What is it? There are people who can smell colors or hear colors. Which is it? It's like this weird sense.
I thought it was people who could see sound.
Yeah.
I thought that was the. I'm not joking.
Sea salt.
That they can visualize sound.
Hardy, remember the markers that smelled when we were younger?
Oh yeah.
You sit there in class. I love the lemon.
The black one to give you a headache though.
Mm, licorice. Yeah.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Harry's in Buzzards Bay. Harry.
Hi, guys. I really don't blame Uzron for making that mistake because, really, if Charlie Coyle didn't blindly pass it up the middle, then we would have never even made it to overtime. We would have won in regulation.
Okay, but I mean, that's like, so anything that happened after that, no one's to blame for anything?
Do you know if Brady...
So if Tuukka Rask, you know, decides to go behind the net, pull down his pants and take a dump and someone scores a goal, like, that's not on him. That's on Charlie Coyle. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that? Oh, not on him.
Yeah.
It all goes back to Coyle. Anything after the Coyle,
the
lackadaisical Coyle play, that's it. Nobody's fault for anything.
If Tom Brady didn't fumble against the Eagles,
you're not responsible for any
champs.
Of your actions after that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pats at a one.
Sounds like an NFL coach. Once they won the coin toss in overtime, it's done.
We
can't win.
Yeah, that's it. You know,
thanks,
coin
Andy
toss
Reed.
Didn't go our way,
yeah,
so
Andy Reed.
We need to change the rules. We're not responsible for losing the game. Come on.
Jesus.
Get out of here. 617-779-0985. Billy Jaffe joins us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
17:45 left here in double OT as Wagner swings it deep. And the Jackets
That's
coming ahead. It's going to be Bergeron who goes.
Tripped up Seth Jones.
Yeah, it's just the stick got caught, obviously. It's one of those plays that you make many times, and it's not going to happen, but my stick shouldn't be there at this point in the game.
Atkinson has it on the half wall, right wing side. Gives to Jones. Back to Atkinson across. Pinnell with a one-time shot. Save big rebound! And a score! And I got two words for you! Game over! Matt Duchene buries the power play goal, and the Blue Jackets Jets skate away with a 3-2 win and have tied this series at one game apiece.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. Welcome in Billy Jaffe of Nesson. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beetle.
Late night. Late night for you on Saturday night.
It was. Yeah, it was a late start, and it went even later. You're right. And it was nice to see you. Nice. Thanks for the wave.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. See him, man.
Yeah, Hardy and I walked by and said hello, gave him a wave.
Huh. Yeah. Billy, what's up? You know, this was nice. It was very friendly, though. Very friendly. Yeah,
I was there. I was with them.
You weren't with us.
Not at that point.
Not at that
moment. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Billy, what's up with Patrice Bergeron? Why is he not playing up to his normal standards?
Well, you know, his line in general hasn't been. Although, you know, they controlled it. When they built Dalton Heinen deal, they've actually, if you're into the analytics side of the game, and again, I would say this, I get the numbers thing, but more the eye test, but they control your play, but they're playing against, I mean, they're being so focused on by the opposition that, you know, they're battling out there. It just, between him and Marchand, they just haven't had that amazing kind of, you know, pinpoint accuracy, the chemistry, the finish that we got so used to seeing in the regular season. And I think part of the thing, Beetle, is they were so damn good during the regular season that they scared the heck out of the opponent when the best players are going against them at the highest level. And the concerted effort has made it tougher on them. Now, here's the other thing. We talked about this before, too. I didn't think that he had that great Bergeron jump, and we know he's not a speed demon, but you know what I mean? That first stride, that power move, et cetera, for a while in the first round until game 6 and game 7, and then I think he got it back. I'm hoping that he can have a breakthrough. Obviously not having Pastrnak up there with regard to flying around, that creates room for him too. That makes a difference. You can hear the dejection in his voice. And I saw that same clip, you know, that you ran bumping in right here. Thoroughly disappointed himself. He knows that his stick can't be there. So hopefully he and Marchand can pick it up. And Pastrnak, I'm sure they'll ask me about that too. He can get himself going. I just don't know when it's all said and done in a long series if they can win without those guys scoring.
Billy, you've watched a lot of hockey, and I know you've seen this Columbus team before, but now that you've seen them against the Bruins in this series for two games, what stands out to you that concerns you the most as far as the matchups or lines?
I guess their forward depth. I still think that the Bruins, if they get again, the Marchand, Bergeron, Pasta going a bit, whether it has a line or is separate zone. I think defensively as a crew, I mean, yeah, they've got Seth Jones and he's great. David Savard's been very good. I think the Bruins can exploit that, but their offensive, their forward depth concerns me because they're going to play a hard, heavy, determined game. They're going to block shots. The Bruins have to get to the bottom two or three defensemen on the Columbus Blue Jackets more. And by getting to them, I mean, have them handle the puck and then challenge them in front of the net where pucks may come, and they haven't done enough of that. And therefore, Bobrovsky, who's been awesome, was able to see more pucks. But I think so. That would be the thing is that, you know, I mean, they've got, you know, they're playing a big, strong third, fourth line. And you know, we always talk about depth wins in the cup. You have to have your stars shining, no doubt. Like, your depth will win it for you just over the battle of attrition.
Billy, whether it's some of the scoring chances that didn't result in a goal in the Maple Leaf series, mm-hmm. or some of the stuff we saw the other night, it looks like they're squeezing the stick a little bit. You know, on the one-timers where they don't whiff on them or they don't get everything on them, do you see that from the Bruins?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They're thinking instead of just reacting.
Yes, okay.
I think it's partly...
Tell them to stop that.
You know, I've yelled from the booth and I've yelled at the TV a few times, implored them, begged them. But the biggest example, and I mean that in the most extreme example, was the other night when Jake DeBrusk got the puck with about, 12 feet away from the net,
yes.
maybe 8 feet away
yep.
from the net.
Yep.
And then he backpassed it to David
yes.
Pastrnak.
Yes.
And there was a defenseman there, I don't remember who Jones or Survivor, regardless, who got in the way. And that didn't happen during the regular season. That didn't happen when DeBrusk was ultra confident for a while. He seems to be shaking it a bit right now. Same thing with Pastrnak. You know what he was doing right there? He was saying, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to make this perfect play. Pastrnak's going to score, and it's going to be unbelievable, and the Garden's going to go crazy. Just thinking too much. Get the puck, shoot the puck.
Got it.
Get it shooted, especially like against a guy like Bobrovsky right now. And anyway, Bob might be in their head a little right now.
A lot has been made of the cannon and the atmosphere that the Bruins are going into in Columbus. Is it going to matter?
Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. It's something to talk about. If it's a pain in the ass or pain in the ear is what it is. You know, it does. If you haven't been there and you don't know when to expect it, Beetle, it's loud and it's jolting.
So wait a minute. So this is like playing the Vikings and they got that guy in that big cloak walking around that musket, or you get the horn that goes, and boom, he shoots it off. That scares the living hell out of you if you're not ready for it.
Is it the actual cannon firing, or is it a sound effect and they just kind of, you know, squeeze it? Yeah.
Oh, no, they fired that.
They
fired inside?
Yes.
They do fire it, but it is synchronized with the AC/DC song. You know, for those about to rock, when they say,
we salute you.
But it's not an actual cannon powder, I'm told, that they use. I think it is an audio effect, but it is damn loud. I remember the first time I was there with the Atlanta Thrashers. They used to get Thrashers. We used to score that all the time. Like, you went off all the time. And it was scared. You feel it. You feel it in your bones still. But it's not actually cannon powder or ammunition, whatever it's called.
But it works, though. It's AC/DC. It's loud noises. It's guns. How's a team like Columbus get it, and you get the stupidity of Toronto and these Canadians that don't get any music and how it applies to hockey and goal songs and all that? Why does a team like Columbus get it and a team like Toronto?
Well, because they have to. You know what? No, because they had to. They had to. They're catering to a different audience. You know it. They're not catering to 80 to 100 years of hockey history. They're catering to a new audience, and they have to make it a very fun and unique place to be in any of the new markets. That it becomes about the show until the team gets good. Vegas was all going to be about the show, and we up for obvious reasons, but meanwhile, the team got great from the get-go, so it became about both, and now it's crazy there. But Columbus, you know, this is the first time in their history finals they've been in the second round. It's going to be nuts there tonight. I actually think the Bruins can use that to their advantage.
Really?
They should not be intimidated. Absolutely. So how many times do you love going into a place and you may have not put your hand to your ear, but you sure wanted to when a big raucous stadium was quiet after you came in and you kicked some butt or you squeaked out a victory. Either way, there's nothing like that feeling of entering the arena and then leaving as an opponent and leaving as the visiting opponent, leaving with a W.
Hey,
it doesn't matter how you get it.
I agree with you. But we never came out of Denver with a win and never came out of Seattle with a win. Those two places were the most loudest and deafening, and you just knew going in, man, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. I think you can use it. You've got a lot of vets on that Bees team. Use it to their advantage. They've been through more, trust me. Columbus is a good building. They got the cannon. They got some music. And it's going to be loud. But, geez, these guys have been through a lot more than Columbus, for Christ's sake.
All right, Billy. You got a prediction for tonight, Billy?
Bruins 3-2.
Okay, Bruins 3-2 on the road.
Another 3-2 game. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough, tough game. I'm going with the Bees.
All right. Okay, Billy.
See you, Billy. Have a good show.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, Billy Jaffe from Nesson. That's where you can catch him doing, I believe, pregame and postgame still.
Yeah, it should be pregame and postgame.
The playoffs, yes.
They don't do the inner
that's why he was in the Garden,
right?
Yeah. Good phone.
Yeah. Is that one of those track phones?
I don't know.
Where do you get those? Walmart?
Prepaid. What's he doing? Why'd he do that to us? That phone?
I don't know. But guys,
We've got a couple open phone lines, and those of you who are waiting, we will get to your calls right after these headlines in 90 seconds, so stay right there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.